Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another service here from Unity Center of Light, from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. As always, we want to invite you to the Zoom service right after this, Zoom Fellowship. We're going to have Safi live music today, which is going to be really exciting. And you get to speak with and see your Unity family. So please join us in the Zoom session right after. You can find the link in your e-newsletter or your weekly update. But right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Okay, thanks. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. And let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we'll have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, January the 16th. The key word is rise. And the affirmation is, I rise in consciousness to help create a world that works for all. Throughout time, there have been people who led lives that changed the world forever. Their words and deeds provided hope and inspiration for those who would carry forth their legacies of love, growth, and evolution long after they left this life. Their most powerful contribution, however, was their ability to inspire others to express their own divine potential or purpose. As more and more people reach their highest potential, the whole of humanity ascends. Today, I honor those who have led lives of service, striving for love, truth, and justice. I take steps not to just commemorate their journeys and contributions, but to embark upon my own. I rise grateful to contribute all I can to the growth and evolution of humankind. And the scripture reading is taken from Ezra 10:4, and it reads, "Take action, for it is your duty, and we are with you. Be strong and do it." Amen. And now we'll have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, honey. That daily word is a good lead-in to the lesson today. Okay, perfect. Also, you know, today's going to be a little bit dense, as some people say to me. The title of the lesson is Grasping Truth at Its Root. And you might see in the title that's been published, it says Unity Foundations. So we're going to take a deeper look at this concept of truth, and in conjunction with what Pam just read about the Daily Word, how that can impact the world at large in terms of our being able to connect with each other through love and compassion. So again, the title, Grasping Truth at Its Root. And the purpose of this lesson is to learn that what we have learned needs to be unlearned to allow truth to spring forth within us, right? And we study and we read and we listen to talks on truth, you know, trying to grasp and understand what this idea of truth is all about, you know, because this is our path to understanding. That's how we know to try to learn something and spend a lot of time in, you know, reading external sources and listening to people speak and so forth. So, but the Course in Miracles explains that this often leads to a misconception of truth. So the way we normally approach trying to learn something on an intellectual level, in terms of truth, it often leads to a misconception of truth. And this is what the Course in Miracles says. It says, truth isn't spoken in words, but in silence. It is part of an energy that cannot be simply uttered. It is the pure energy of creation, not contaminated by knowing or relative knowledge. Nothing of duality can touch it. Duality meaning how we typically function, that things are good or bad, right or wrong. So nothing of duality can touch it. It is neither physical nor of thought. And anything opposing this is a statement of separation. So we oppose that, this concept is just spoken of by A Course in Miracles. It says we are sort of giving a statement of separation, of not really wanting to be, to understand and work with that concept as it was explained, okay? So this explanation of truth in the Course can be applied to other spiritual ideas as well, such as faith is the pure energy of creation, not contaminated by knowing or relative knowledge. Or love, peace, joy is a pure energy of creation, not contaminated by knowing or relative knowledge, and so on, okay? So in another quote from the Course in Miracles, we read this. It says, truth is unalterable, eternal, and unambiguous. It can be unrecognized, but it cannot be changed. So we cannot recognize what truth is, but we can't change truth. It applies to everything that God created, and only what God creates or created is real. So it is beyond learning, because it's beyond time and process. So the typical process we go through to try to learn something cannot be applied to trying to understand truth. It also really cannot be applied to try to understand God, okay? And it's saying here that truth has no opposite, no beginning and no end. Truth just is. And of course, we say God just is. So we all spend a lot of time in study, contemplation, meditation, prayer, trying to grasp truth at its root. But to truly grasp truth at its root, we must be willing to let go of and transcend all that we presently think truth to be. Okay? So we're not saying that all of what we individually think to be truth is false. The greater problem is that there is no universal vision of truth in all of mankind or humankind that binds us all together as one, okay? Again, there is no one universal vision of truth in all of humankind that binds us together as one. Now, I say again, we, the human race, have no universal vision of truth that binds us together as one. And there's no one universal vision that focuses all our efforts towards a common goal for the good of everybody on this planet, right? So it's like what I was reading in Stephen Covey's newsletter about teamwork. He explained, if a team of people is putting together a puzzle, everyone on the team should have the same vision of what that final picture will look like, okay? And that is what, you know, we as the human race are lacking, that being a common vision for the good of the whole human race. And without a common purpose for the good of the whole human family, our faculty of perception causes us to hold different visions of what the final puzzle should look like. And I'm not defining this or describing it as good or bad. It's basically a reference point to move forward from our pursuit, in our pursuit of the root of truth, okay? So a lack of a common vision causes a sense of separateness, self-centeredness, intolerance among the ranks, so to speak. And we've been seeing that big time this year and last year, 2020 and 2021. You know, this intolerance among the ranks. And not only do we have different perceptions of truth, we are often intolerant and not accepting of each other's perception of truth. So each belief system believes it has ownership of the right definition of truth. You know, I think there's, I read one time there's over 300 different versions of Christianity, but then I read somewhere else there's over 3,000 different variations of Christianity. All feel they have ownership of the right definition of truth to the exclusion of the beliefs of others. And this is what separates us. But as Joel Goldsmith explained, once you find truth, every definition you ever had of truth will be destroyed. Okay? So if this is true, it may be possible that a real knowing of truth may be incomprehensible to us in our present state of mind. So in our pursuit of truth, let's go to a truth that we can comprehend. Okay? That being doing good. Okay? So if somebody says to you, you know, the truth is doing good, and how does that look? It looks like as random acts of kindness and goodness and love and compassion. We can understand that version of truth, okay? The pursuit of doing good, okay? Now, these are avenues, you know, we can understand as a way to prepare our mind to receive the truth. So we're practicing random acts of kindness and goodness and love and compassion. We're actually preparing our minds to receive what truth is. And maybe that is the purpose of the pandemic, because even though there are a lot of opposing views, there have been and still are many who are practicing doing good, even for those whose truth is different from their own. And as we read in 1 Peter 1:22, 1 Peter 1:22, it says, "This is the way to purify ourselves, to become ready to receive the understanding of truth." Okay? So these random acts of kindness is the way to purify ourselves. And let me just read the whole verse to you. It says, "You must have purified yourself by your obedience to the truth, so that you show sincere brotherly love for each other. From a pure heart, continue to love one another constantly." Okay? Now, a verse like that put into practice begins to put us in the same vibration that will help us to eventually understand truth at its root. Okay? And this, you know, this lesson is really about evaluating those feelings that pull on our heartstrings to respond to the needs of another human being with love and compassion and understanding, even though what they believe to be truth goes against what we believe to be truth. And it's important to this lesson that we hear the phrase "believe to be true." Okay, that's the constant that causes us to struggle, because we have stopped ourselves at what we believe to be true. But let's just see what the Course in Miracles says about it. It says, "The world of perception is made by the belief in opposites and separate wills." That's duality, okay? "In perpetual conflict with each other and with God. What perception sees and hears appears to be real because it permits into awareness only what conforms to the wishes of the perceiver. And this leads to a world of illusion, a world which needs constant defense precisely because it is not real." Okay. So, you know, but to be real, so to speak, right, our personal truth is very real to each one of us. We could look at it as our law, the law of our life. Our personal truth is the law of our life, and we are not easily open to change, nor are we always open to the law of life held by others. But fortunately, in many cases, our hearts will push us to reach out with acts of kindness, acts of doing good, in spite of our differences. And this is a path to truth that we can comprehend. If I cannot comprehend what truth actually is in its basic root, I do understand acts of kindness. Right? And for purposes of this lesson, let's look at the concept of our law of life, our personal law of life, from the viewpoint of how Jesus was trying to get, was always getting in trouble with the Pharisees because he chose to do good when it was considered by the Pharisees to go against what they believe to be religious truth or what they call the law of life, okay? So many of the miracles or social acts Jesus would perform would provoke the Pharisees to challenge him. And there are several accounts of Jesus performing some of those on the Sabbath that really aggravated the Pharisees because it conflicted with their literal interpretation of the laws of Moses, which in their mind transcended everything else, including doing good to others. So one such incident is recorded in Luke 6, verse 8. It says, "On another Sabbath, Jesus went into the synagogue and was teaching a man that there was, who was there, you know, And he, one of the people who were there, his right hand was withered, okay? And the scribes and Pharisees were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking, okay? And he said to the man anyway, with the withered hand, withered right hand, rise and stand in front of everyone. So the man got up and he stood up in front of everybody else. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And he looked around at all of them, and then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And the man did so, and his hand was completely restored. But the scribes and the Pharisees, of course, you know, they were upset, you know, they were furious, and they began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. They were always planning on how they were going to get rid of Jesus. Okay? So it's important in this message that we understand the metaphysical or symbolic meaning of the characters in the biblical account to get the full meaning. Okay? It's also important to put yourself into the biblical story to see if the activity in your mind matches the metaphysical interpretation of the Bible characters. Okay. So there's a lot of reference in the Gospels to the scribes and the Pharisees, especially when it comes to the works and teachings of Jesus. So let's try to understand what they each represent. Let's first look at the scribes. Okay. So scribes represent that in us which seeks to get its information and inspiration from sources outside of itself. It is the personality side of us that seeks its information from other personalities through the exclusion of its own indwelling Christ spirit. Okay? So, simply meaning that a lot of what we believe to be truth came from people and sources outside of us rather than from the divine aspect of our own being. Think about it. All right? Even in unity, in previous to unity, all of our studying about this idea of truth is something we got from outside of ourselves. What I call in the marketing class secondhand knowledge. Okay, it was not firsthand knowledge, it's secondhand knowledge, meaning that somebody else had it and then we took it on. Okay, and a good illustration of this idea of taking on secondhand knowledge is the way that the disciples answered Jesus' question when he asked them, who do men say that I am? So the answers that the disciples gave were answers they received from outside of themselves that they heard others say. Okay. It's what their personality side learn from other personalities through the exclusion of their own indwelling Christ spirit. And this happens quite often with us, where we are, you know, we will neglect our own intuition, our own spiritual guidance, and instead accept the chattering of other personalities. It is, this, you know, it's almost as if we do not trust ourselves. So it may be accurate to say many of us are not comfortable with our own inner spiritual guidance, our own intuitive knowing. So we seek answers from outside of ourselves. But again, let's, you know, clarify that asking questions and seeking help from others is not wrong. Okay, let me just be clear about that. And the American philosopher Charles Sanders Peirce made this statement about that. He says, every person is fully satisfied that there is such a thing as truth, or we would not ask any questions. You get what I'm saying? See, we don't really understand what truth is. He's saying, but we're satisfied that there is such a thing as truth, and that's why we ask questions. That's why we read and study and listen to others, because we're trying to understand this process. So we're not negating that idea, okay? So it's not about asking truth that, you know, we're questioning. What we're questioning is not having the faith and the confidence and the courage to also refer to and rely on our own indwelling Christ spirit. Okay, as I mentioned, the Gnostics were not about having faith. They were about the experience of faith that created something in them, an inner knowing. Okay, and again, and Peter demonstrated what is possible for us when we have the courage to listen to our own inner spirit. It was Peter's answer to Jesus' question, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, that we know what is possible for us. Okay, because Peter was able to do it, it means we are also able to do it. Okay? Each one of us have within us a Peter aspect in our consciousness that acts to release us from the grip of our scribe consciousness. So everything we see in the scripture is within us. We have scribes and Pharisees within us. We have Peter, John, James, all of the different disciples within us. And so that's that Peter aspect that allows us to tap into that indwelling Christ presence. Okay? So now let's look at what Pharisees mean. Okay? So the Pharisees represent that part of our individual consciousness that binds us to external forms of religion without allowing us to understand any of the deeper meaning. Okay? Pharisees observe the literal law, letter of the religious law without understanding the spirit of the law. So they lack understanding of the truth. Pharisees are more interested in how they appear to others. Okay? And Jesus called them on this, right? Matthew 23, 25 through 26, okay? He said to them, "Woe to you Pharisees and scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean." Again, Bible verses that we know. But the thing is, you know, as we study more, a Bible verse that we know should be start to open up more to us in terms of what it means for us. So the whole purpose of Jesus' message is about doing the inner work necessary to bring the light and love of the Christ self into continuous expression in our outer world. And for most of us, our lives, this might be hard to hear, we have been scribes and Pharisees. You know, this may explain why we often feel challenged, even maybe irritated, when we hear or study the truth teachings of Jesus or the great masters. Okay? It may be going against our Pharisaic consciousness. All right? So let's continue with this verse, this scripture that that we're studying to get more understanding. So Jesus asked the question, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good? Now the word lawful in this case is equivalent to our perception of truth. And the truth for the people of that time was the literal interpretation of the Mosaic law, the law of the laws of Moses, the Ten Commandments. Okay? They took them literally. And the law that Jesus was challenging was the fourth commandment, which says, Exodus 28 through 10, remember the Sabbath day, we all know this, okay, and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work. All right, so again, they took that literally. But in asking the question about doing good, Jesus was emphasizing the importance of doing good to others above following what was perceived to be the truth or the law. He was saying doing good to others is much greater than the law. And the scribes and the Pharisees, on the other hand, placed greater importance on the law, which was their truth, to neglect doing the good that would have been best to serve the needs of others. Okay, so they were too caught up in the law in order to serve the needs of others. So just think what the world would be like if we all focused on doing good for each other. And that's very similar to the daily word that Pam was reading. Okay, you know, what the world would be like if we all focused on doing good for each other. If we did, eventually neighborhoods would be good to each other. Cities, states, countries, and finally the entire population of the world would be about doing good to each other. And this is the collective vision of the puzzle we want to work on to collectively as a planet put together. And to help us understand our part in creating this collective vision, let's continue with the interpretation again of this scripture. Because a man with the withered right hand, and I'll notice I emphasized when I read it before, it was his right hand that was withered. because that has tremendous symbolism for us in this lesson. In the ancient language of parables, and I'm emphasizing that because if you're a Greg Braden fan who is an earth scientist, he talks about the language of the ancients. So in the ancient language of parables, the right hand means the power to do good. The right hand symbolically, metaphysically, means the power to do good. So the right hand is always on the side of truth, the side of power and guidance and healing and prospering ideas. So Jesus proved the prospering power of turning to the right side in John 21, 5 through 6, when he came upon the disciples who had been fishing all night. Again, you know the story, to no avail. And he called on them. He says, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered, he said. So Jesus said to them, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net into the large with the large number of fish they had caught. Okay. So it is perceivable that we have spent our entire lives mastering the use of our left hand, the side that turns to the outer world for its fulfillment. And we have found that the outer world does not always provide the continuous satisfaction of the needs of our mind, body, and soul that we are seeking. No matter what we gain, there always seems to be the need for more or something else or something different. Okay, that's left-hand living, or living with a left-hand consciousness, I should say, which is always seeking your good from the outside. However, as Jesus showed the disciples, when we cast our nets to the right side, the side of spirit, our nets are filled to overwhelming with ideas about what we desire because we are in touch with the infinite source that God is. So metaphysically, the word net means the human mind that catches thoughts, and fish symbolizes the divine ideas we receive from spirit to guide us through the affairs of our lives. Okay, that's throwing your net or your mind to the right side, which means inner, as opposed to the left side, which is always looking outer. So we are always, working on the left side. If that's the way we are, that side of us relies on the material world, and we only know what's available through the material world. It's like when you ask the question, how am I going to get through this? Okay, that's a left-hand, question. A right-hand thing is you're open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth. That's a right-hand methodology of thinking. So on the other hand, the right side, again, is the side of spirit. It is the consciousness that links us to God as the source of our supply. It is the inner realm, the divine core of our being, that which is the root of truth we have been seeking. It is also the least understood and therefore the least utilized side of our being. And I think we all know if we do not use something, if you don't use something, what does it do? It withers, right? Which is why the left hand, symbolic of the material side of our consciousness, grows strong with frequent use. We come to be dependent on our material consciousness. In the meantime, the right hand, symbolic of the spiritual side of our consciousness, withers and is in need of healing from our inner Christ. It withers because the right hand withers, or right hand thinking, right hand consciousness is withering because we're not using it. Okay, and it needs the Christ to heal it, just as we read in that parable. So it's important to note that our left hand, the Pharisaic side of our consciousness, cannot heal the right hand. Left hand thinking cannot heal right hand thinking, the withered right hand thinking. The left hand thinker would not even attempt to do that. However, we must understand that we are the mind behind all that occurs within us. And our mind has a direct link with the Christ Spirit within us. We can choose to follow the calling of the Christ Spirit within that commands us to stretch out our right hand so that it can be healed. Okay, we can choose to follow the command of the Christ Spirit that dwells within us, commanding us to cast our net to the right side. We have the power to surrender to the healing presence of our indwelling Christ. Okay, we have that power. And I'm going to end this lesson with a string of affirmations that I put together from Science of Mind magazine, January. The dates are January 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th of 2022. I put those all together, and this is the affirmation that we have to work with. So that I envision peace and harmony in the world by surrendering my need to be right. I choose love and allow love to flow through my very being, touching everyone I meet. I'm willing to lay down my thoughts of separation and practice the radiant oneness of love. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
And now, Unity Family, let's give ourselves the gift of stillness. So I ask you to focus on your breath. You may close your eyes if you wish. Breathe slowly and deeply. And allow your body to relax as you turn within. Your breath becomes smooth and effortless as lingering thoughts drift away. Entering this space of stillness and quiet, peace enfolds your spirit, and these words fill your awareness and become your very own. I design my life to divinely express my dreams, releasing all thoughts, beliefs, and expectations. I free myself to envision the life I desire. I open myself to new possibilities, new ways of thinking, doing, and being in the world. The light of hope guides me through whatever lies before me. A life of purpose and passion awaits. With renewed vision and bold faith, I seize the opportunity. God, you are my source of infinite love, wisdom, and power. Created in God's image, so too am I. Alive with divine imagination and inspired intelligence, I tap into my higher self and unleash my creative energy. My courage and conviction rise within, and I take responsibility for my life and my choices. Love is my spiritual compass, and wisdom is my inner voice. I commit to bringing forth my highest good, elevating my spiritual path. I also allow my deepest and truest dreams to unfold. I am a powerful spiritual being with a divine determination to direct my life. I trust my intuition and chart my path forward, step by step. I am free of limitations, and I envision a life of joy and fulfillment. I have the capacity to realize my gifts and talents, enriching my life and blessing others. Grateful for living with truth, clarity, and authenticity, I shine my light and radiate love to all. Eternally one with the Source, I create and live a life that expresses my dreams. And now let's take these words of affirmation into the secret place of the Most High for a brief time. The Unity Center of Light affirms with you that you are divinely empowered to fulfill your highest intentions. We are grateful, gracious Spirit, that our dreams will come to fruition as we have affirmed. So we say Amen in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. When you are ready, come back to this space and time filled with faith in this year of 2022.
Very nice. This is a time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal lives to flow into our spiritual home. And as always, we are truly thankful for all the gifts and donations that you've been sending to Unity Center of Light. We ask you to hold your gift in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit as we say our affirmation together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. And you have light notes?
Yes. Okay. Our light notes for Sunday today, January 16th. Unity Village is holding an inspirational conversation online called Progress, Not Perfection. It's a Martin Luther King celebration on January the 17th at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. How can we embrace one another in spite of or even because of our differences? Please see the updates on your e-newsletter for details. The Power of Prayer booklet discussion group meets every Wednesday from January the 12th, which it's already started, to February the 9th at 7 p.m. April May is facilitating this group. Please check your updates and e-newsletter for the link and to download the booklet. Women of Unity, we're having our first virtual meeting since I don't know when, since a long time. And it's a virtual afternoon tea. I'm really looking forward to seeing you on Saturday, January the 26th from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. And if you don't know, an afternoon tea usually consists of finger sandwiches and various sweet items, and of course your favorite cup of tea. At this get-together, we will discuss our future meetings and what they will look like. So think about what you would like to have for your tea, and we will see you at 3 p.m. on the 22nd of January. Living room conversations. Living room conversations is works to heal society by connecting people across divides, age, gender, race, politics, nationality, and more, through guided conversations proven to build understanding and transform communities. We will be having two times to meet for this living room conversations: Wednesday, January the 19th at 10:30 to 12:30, and Thursday, January the 27th at 6:30 to 8:30. Unity Center of Light has registered and paid for as many members of our community to attend as they want to. So to attend, please click on the Zoom link in the e-newsletter and the updates, and please email Patty to let her know which session you are attending so we can track our attendance. And that's it for announcements.
All right, so now we are ready to
bless the prepare. Path that we walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right, let's go right to our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. Well, this has been wonderful being with you today. You know?
Yes.
And we look forward to seeing you in the Zoom session right after this. Otherwise, have a wonderful week, and we will see you next week.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.